Also, this rhetoric of hatred that already 10 years ago was starting in Arizona with all this anti-immigration laws. So I felt like I needed to make a movie that spoke about it. I just didn't find the right way to do it until a couple years later when I watched Duel by Spielberg. And I realized that it would be interesting to, instead of creating a rhetorical piece that spoke about the subject matter, instead try to create a horror experience for the audience that would bring them kind of through this journey.
Yes, sir, because of the movie, I'm gonna ask you, I saw it with a friend of mine, also a fellow critic, and she has this concern about the dog scene.
Uh-huh.
Now, when you shot that, did you have any foreseeing, like, okay, some people with pet lovers might be finding this a bit too sensitive?
Well, I mean, I have a real pet lover here. When
the
I'm
biggest pet lover,
the biggest pet lover
in the world.
And I think obviously that scene was hard, but that's always what I questioned, which is, I mean, obviously I understand watching a dog die is hard, but we just saw that dog kill two Mexicans. We just saw so many Mexicans die in the film. So, to me, I feel like it's just another piece of the story. Saying that, to me, that why the dog was really important is because I wanted Jeffrey's character, besides being terrifying, which he already is, I wanted him to feel human, and
it's the one moment in the story that you can kind of humanize Sam. Is the one relationship that he has that anyone's going to be able to relate to is maybe the relationship he has with his dog. So that's it. The rest of it, you should not appreciate or understand anything that he's doing.
I feel that this movie came at the perfect time, especially with everything that's happening here and the political campaigns and the elections and all that stuff and all this big wall of lies and deceit and thing that has been built against the immigrants. Like, as an individual and in relation to your character, what do you feel about this movie coming in at this time where there's so much going on with the immigration issue and building a wall?
We've been practicing this answer all this day, many times, but it is nice to actually, it has helped to funnel out like a very basic explanation, I guess, or answer. This film, for me, it depicts the nightmare of the consequences of hate discourse, of a narrative that criminalizes the other, no, of criminalizes other group of people, that it only requires one person pulling the trigger to create a massacre, and we can see the consequences of that hate speech being put in place in this movie, and therefore what we wanted to highlight perhaps is the ridiculousness of it all. How did we get there? How did we get to this place? To create an introspection and open up a new discussion that actually talks and understands migration as a natural phenomenon, as something that needs to exist in order for life to exist on Earth, in order for humans to exist on Earth, and we, instead of criminalizing it, we should talk about regulating it and legalizing it in a way that we don't criminalize these people so much, because we're just criminalizing the wrong people all the time. And we need to talk, we need to develop narratives that incorporate and that are more comprehensive and much more benign with our humankind, with different groups of humans, because at the end, nowadays, every political thing we do has an international repercussion, has a global repercussion. So we need to discuss this issue with much more care, with much more compassion. It is not easy. It is complicated. Nobody said it's easy. But it's definitely more, ambitious, benign. It will just create much more goodwill and much more, a sense of common good than the short-sighted electoral way that it's being managed. So far, not only in this country, but in many countries in the world, including Mexico.
God, that is the best answer I've heard. That was it. Why haven't I been teamed with you all day? Every answer I give about this ends with "fuck Trump." This is way better.
Is that your feeling as well?
Yeah. Yeah, that's my feeling as well. His, he just worded it so much better than this guy can. That was great.
Well, that was a wonderful answer. But my question is to Gael and Jeffrey. When Jonas said to you, I have the script about these two characters, there's, you know, I mean, one who is out bent on just killing, and the other one is bent on surviving. Mm. What did you guys think?
I met with Onas in New York, and Gael had already been attached to the project for probably a long time. So after I met with Onas, after 5 minutes in, you realize that there's something very special about this guy, and he is not only an amazing storyteller, but the future for him, I think, is well beyond anything that I can see. So I really just wanted to be in this movie to work with Onas and Gael. As a fan of Gael for years, I looked at it as an opportunity to work with some brilliant filmmakers and an opportunity for me in particular to play a role that I'd never done before. And I thought Sam was somebody that I had never tackled and may never again. It was hard.
I'm sorry.
Well, not for Sam.
I don't know.
Well, maybe
that.
We don't know. Yeah, that's true. You could have crawled out of there. Yeah.
But it is. Let me just answer because it is. It is. It was as kind of yes, as pulsating as what Jeffrey says. You know, there was a necessity already because he was. He was placing an interesting problem as well. It's almost like not okay. This might sound wrong, but it's not like a film school exercise in the sense of like I'm going to shoot a movie where one person chases the other one and there's no place to hide. So how do you do that? Wow. Okay, that's a cinematic challenge.
Yeah, I mean,
it is a cinematic challenge, and as actors, you know, most of the time it is perhaps other type of stories that kind of like or rather the approach is a different one in terms of it is not so cinematic, it's not downright cinema. We have how many dialogues do we have in this film?
Hardly any.
Yeah,
there's not a lot of human interaction for either of these characters, so it's a lot about isolation, and as an actor I think that's a special kind of challenge to convey to an audience what you're going through without voicing it. And I think both characters, I think you really kind of get to get in their shoes, and that's a testament again to the man sitting in the middle here.
Jonas, growing up, I'm just wondering, were you a huge cinephile and a fan of films like from the 70s, conspiracy thrillers, or filmmakers like Hitchcock and Jean-Pierre Melville, who put a lot of theme into their genre-driven pieces?
No, definitely. I've always been a fan of how particularly the 70s genre film managed to create very political and, in a way, subversive films, but they made them in a more mainstream way by hiding all this subject matters under the guise of genre. So that was a lot, you know, like when I was finding a way to tackle this story, I re-saw Duel by Spielberg, and that's when I knew that was the way to tackle it.
Yes, and also, like, I've seen, I mean, recently I rewatched it again because it's so fantastic. The first half hour of Rambo, of First Blood, you know, it is amazing. You know, the first half hour is just, you know, a situation that is, you know, incredibly pulsating. Something's going on. You don't know what the hell's going on, but you're scared as hell. And you know, by going into a very horrific situation of a person that comes back from the war, all of a sudden, you create a horror story. Somebody actually mentioned it, and maybe it should be a theme. You know, like political horror.
Not political horror.
Political horror.
It's kind of like
to be a genre, you know.
Like, we've seen it this year. It's called the Elections of Horror.
Exactly.
And this movie is the one that is going to represent Mexico in the Oscars. What does it mean to you?
Look, I was very excited when the Mexican Academy selected Desierto to represent Mexico in the race to the Oscars. You know, Mostly because, you know, the movie already opened in Mexico. It was really well received by the audience. And to now find, you know, like have the Mexican industry also embrace it. And now to me, I'm very excited. You know, obviously it's a movie that I have lots of love for. I'm very proud of. And I also, you know, I wanted to reach as much people as possible. I think it is an important movie. So obviously, you know, anything.
And it is a wonderful category, the foreign film. You know, category. No, it is incredible. It's 75 films from all over the world. And you know, there's only a place for 5 of them. And you know, every year, just look at any film that has been nominated for this category. It is incredible. There is something really brilliant about it. It is a very competitive category. And so, just getting nominated, it would be such a. I mean, it would also. Practical terms would create such a difference for this movie. It would be seen even way more. You know, it's incredible how it, you know, it pushes, and it's a great platform for films to be seen much more. So it would be incredible to have that. And it's already had a really interesting life wherever the film has come out, in Mexico and France, for example. Where else has it come out?
Oh, right now only Mexico, France, because it's the two countries that co-produced it.
That's right.
And right now the U.S.
So let's see. I mean, it's been a really interesting run that the film has had.
And that may be open to discussion of immigration, right?
Well, already it is. We're talking about it.
All day today.
I was thinking about the Charles Bronson Death Wish movies, where he was a vigilante and went out on the streets and killed a bunch of criminals. And he's very much the hero, and I remember like actually rooting for him, like being like, yeah. But then now it's like you see this movie, and we have a vigilante who's killing other people that are crossing the border illegally. Maybe because I'm Mexican American or what, I'm like, oh, that's not cool. But I'm thinking like, this is a movie, so are people allowed to root wherever they want to? Because this is a very, very real kind of like political situation where people are like racist and like they want to like, you know. They want to root for the bad guy, because you see online people calling the Sam character like a hero. Is it okay to root for Sam? Like, obviously, I don't think so. What do you think?
None of those up here think so.
Look, I mean, the film is the film, and, you know, that's the idea with cinema. The people have their own experience with it. Me personally, I think that if you think that Jeffrey's character is a hero, I don't think it's your fault. I think you've been bombarded by so much speeches of hatred that, like, it's, you know, like, it's just, you don't really understand, and therefore the way things really are. You know, I mean, we know in the movie very little about the character Jeffrey plays, but I do think with the little signs he gave us, it's very clear that he's in a vulnerable situation, and that's a lot because, you know, I do believe that it's particularly those vulnerable parts of society, but the parts that are looking for an answer for why their situation is the way there is, when they keep being bombarded by speeches that claim migrants as the scapegoats in a country particularly with lax gun controls, like, sooner or later, the recipe's already there.
Well, what's that about our society when people are asking first about the life of a dog in front of a man and cheering for somebody who kills other ones?
Well, yeah.
What is that about our society?
That is the
that's the question we are posing.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, I think the answer is a sad one. if that's what you're looking for, it's a pretty sad answer, and we're finding out every day that it's a little bit more sad than we had hoped.
The film definitely, you know, obviously represents something that's been happening in Mexico for generations, and it also kind of reflects and represents a lot of what families in America go through with their loved ones. I wanted to ask Guy and Jonas what sort of your approach was to tackling these characters and, you know, making sure that you're playing them as real as possible without, you know, the added concerns about, you know, not coming off like semi-exploitative of the experience.
Yes. Well, I think I wouldn't, I mean, and this I say with, I mean, kind of almost scarily, like I wouldn't be so considerate about what you're saying when Jonas asked me to approach me with the project. If I would have almost, I think, stopped in my tracks, or even not be able to accept to play this character if I wouldn't have had all the experiences I've had doing other films about this issue. I did some short film documentaries about migration for Amnesty International, and I also did sort of a meta documentary that is called ¿Quién es Dayani Cristal? About tracing the body of a person that died in Arizona and going to from Honduras to the United States, doing the journey of the migrants, you know, and being close to them and experiencing this and doing all that research for many years allowed me to be able to, when Jonas approached me to the project, I told him, yeah, man, of course I can play this. Like, because I had already, I felt I had already the elements to be able to have ownership of the character and to know that I can pull it off in a way. Also, we wanted to give it another, let's say, added spin to the character. Instead of the character just crossing the border for the first time, like the archetype would establish, no? We said, like, no, let's make him, he's a character that's coming back home, you know? He's a character that's coming back home because this is a new phenomenon as well with migration, you know? There's many people that, it's so criminalized, that there's so many people that you must know many people that have been deported out. They've been living here for years and years and years and years. They have family here. They've been paying their taxes. They've been, you know, incorporating to society and everything. And all of a sudden, for a traffic violation, they get into this loophole of self-deportation, which, you know, how terrible that is. That's a movie in itself. All the process that they go through and how it is like there's an emotional blackmail there that goes on to force you to self-deport, you know. And I met a lot of people whilst doing the Dayani Cristal that had just been chucked out, and they were wondering, I have three daughters, I have my kids, I have my work there, my house, what should I do? Should I go risk going back, or should I bring everyone back to Mexico? But some of them are not Mexican now, you know, or rather their life is there, or my work is, you know, like, and people, and in this catatonia is where my character, Moises' character, is. He's like, I don't know, I'll just cross again, I'll risk it, and
going home.
Yeah, going home. Going exactly home. Going home. So it is. It is it is all this that gave us the opportunity to do this character and to feel that we were not banalizing it as well, because it is very cinema, it's a very delicate, they're very dangerous in that sense, you know. You can banalize an issue or you can exploit something if you don't do the work around it, you know, and actually feel the ownership to be able to tell the story.
Last question, please.
And how many theaters open?
We can give you
that.
So I was going to ask about the preparation, but you kind of answered there. And I feel like with all the movies that you have done with immigration, you have become kind of a voice, an activist in this whole immigration issue. And my question is, do you feel that this movie found you, or you found the movie?
Well, it's a mix of things, because I'd say that that his family kind of made me discover cinema, you know, so I think that's where the whole story starts, you know. Before I met his father, I was a very happy man. I had dreams, I had hopes, I had such a great future ahead of me. And since then, it's just been downhill. Even doing a film for Jonas's sexual education, you know, which I still don't know if we did the wrong thing, the right thing. I don't know if it helped. So in a way, I'm stuck into this. It's not that if it found me, it's because there's no choice. and actually, there was a moment that when Jonas approached me with the project also, I was like, ah, man, it's a nice circle to also, no, not complete, but to add another cycle to all this, is to do a fiction out of this issue in with such elemental aspects, you know. It was interesting to just do that moment of crossing the border, left to right, what's going on, eight dialogues, a dog, great dogs actually, yeah. Beautiful, I mean, incredible, no?
Such scary. A couple of them were scary.
A couple of them were scary, yeah, but they were, they were incredible, and they were just, I mean, so powerful and so agile, and they actually, it was as if you cast Superman to play Superman, the real Superman, you know, and all of a sudden he's like, Superman, would you mind flying?
Like,
no, wait, no, actually.
Not yet. Not yet.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Well, we're not ready.
Wait, exactly. The dog would actually, like, do you think the dog would cross? Oh, he can, yes.
Like, no, they were incredibly smart. Right now, I remember that the trainer used to use a particular word to make them go. But by then, by the second week of the shoot, the dog started recognizing, like,
change.
Camera said action. So, like, it would always start beforehand.
As soon as it heard action, it would go.
Yeah.
Not on its cue.
Very smart
dogs.
Yeah,
yeah. No, it was interesting. And the trainer, no? So good. He was his first film. The trainer and with the dogs, no, it was their first film. It was their debut. But they were like so professional. Like,
I think we were upstaged, man. We
were upstaged.
So we got upstaged by the dogs. It's like working with Jaws too. You know?
Yeah, exactly.
It was amazing to see him to jump into your truck.
Yeah, jump in and out of that truck. Look, that was like that was the highlight of my day.
Thank you, everyone.